Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachos Daf Tzadi Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. In our previous shiur, we discussed the machlokes concerning the appearance of the lechem haponim. One shita held, it was keteva prutza, a type of box that was open on two sides. The other shita was kesfina rokedes, a canoe-shaped loaf. We start our shiur today with a question on one of those shitas, mesve, at the top of the omid. We have a Tanaic source, as you can see, that appears in a frame, as do all Tanaic sources in the Gemara marking system. The source says, kemin kaveres hoya lo betanur. A kaveres is literally a beehive. It's a structure that is described here as the form in which the lechem haponim was prepared. So it was a type of kaveres form that was in the oven, v'doyma kemin tavlo merubas, and it appeared to be a type of square form. The dot underline, or the dashed underline that we have here under the word merubas, is to emphasize that from here we see a kasha on the approach that said sfina rokedes. Here we see that the form is square shaped or rectangular shaped, the point being that this is a kasha on the approach that said that the form of the lechem aponim is such like a canoe boat, which comes to a fine edge at the bottom, a tapered bottom. The Gemara answers on behalf of the Sfina Rokedes Shita, the opinion that holds Sfina Rokedes. Amo, read this as follows: Upiho kedome kemin tavla murubas, meaning the opening or the top was of a rectangular shape. However, the bottom of the form, in fact, came to a sharp angle, like the bottom of a canoe. Tanya keman d'omar kemin sfina rokedes. We have a Tanaic source that supports that approach to the shape of the lechem aponim. Desanya, the source says, arbo snifin shel zov hoyu shom. There were four panels made of gold that straddled the table that of the shulchan, that were on both sides of the shulchan, mefutzolin meiroshehen kemin dakronin hoyu. There were notches in the in these panels that were like dokronim. The Rashi on the third line says, kemin dokronim kemin konim hadokronim konim sheyesh bohen anofim harbe. Havu mufutsalin were types of projections, we'll say, coming forth from them, and these projections supported the lechem haponim. Shesomchin bohen es halechem shehu doime kemin sfina rokedes. Then these panels with their projections supported the lechem aponim, and here you see it says explicitly that appear to be like a sfino rokedis, like a type of swift boat. And as we said before, that shape or that form, as we've attempted to illustrate on the Tzadi Dalid, is a loaf whose bottom comes to a sharp angle. Ibayalaho. The Gemara here raises a new question that's unrelated to the previous sugya. Hence, you can see that we've used a slash mark in the Gemara text to indicate that that which follows is a new idea. So the question is, Lechem Aponim, we have actually featured the topic heading on the outside margin under our Nosei being topic heading in our Gemara marking system, Shas Ozer. The Shas Ozer is the pre-marked Gemara that you see on your screen. This Shas has topic headings that accompany each new sugya. The topic heading here is under the heading Nosei, She'ela, a question. Lechem Haponim, Nifsal b'masois oy loy. We're talking about the time of the Mishkan in the Midbar. When the Jews left Egypt, they traveled for 40 years in the Midbar, during which time there was a Mishkan, a portable type of, we'll call it portable Beis HaMikdash, that from time to time had to be folded up, and the Jews would travel from place to place. Let us say the Lechem Haponim was positioned on the table, and there was an order, a divine order, to pick up camp and start moving. That's a reference that's referred to in our Gemara by the term Masaos, the travelings. The question here is, does the Lechem Haponim become rendered invalid by the fact that they now have to pick up camp? In general, when it comes to korbanos and items of sanctity, they have a region, a precinct in which they must remain. For example, kodshei kodshim, high-level holy sacrifices, are not to leave the azorah, the courtyard of either the Beis HaMikdash or the Mishkan. If they leave that area, they become rendered puzzle, invalid. What is the halacha with regard to the Lechem Aponim at the time of travel? That's the gist of this sugya, which will pretty much take up the rest of this omid and continue to the top of Tzadi Hei Omid Beis. So, reading the question again, Ibayalaho, the question was raised, Lechem Aponim Nifsal B'masois Oy Eino Nifsal B'masos. We've labeled this Aleph and Beis, meaning the two sides of the question. Are the Lechem Aponim rendered invalid or puzzle, unfit at the point of travel or not? Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shuben Levi, these two Amoroyim participate in this, in a controversy. Chad Omar Nifsal, V'chad Omar Eino Nifsal. One opinion, the names are not associated with the opinion. So all we know is that Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shuben Levi were arguing about this. One says that they do become unfit, and the other says Eino Nifsal. The Gemara now reviews these opinions with sources. Ma Domar Nifsal, the opinion that holds that the travel causes the Lechem Aponim to become unfit, Dichtiv, Kasher Yachanu, Kein Yiso. Ma Bachani Yosoi Nifsal Biyotse, just like when they're encamped, if the Lechem Aponim leave the Beis HaMikdash, or the Mishkan, Yotse, they leave the Mishkan, they become invalid, Af Benesi also Nifsal Biyotse, so too, when they pick up camp, even though the Lechem Aponim are traveling as part of the area that's carried by the Levium, who had as their role to carry the Mishkan in what's called the Machne Leviyah, since they picked up camp, the Lechem Aponim becomes unfit. Ma Domar Eino Nifsal, the opinion that says that the Lechem Aponim, simply because they start moving, they do not become unfit. Dichtiv, V'lechem hatomid olov yiyeh. The Pasuk says that the Lechem is always on the Shulchan. Always, meaning even while traveling, the Lechem remains, the Lechem Aponim remains Kodesh, and not, and it remains kosher. The Idach, the opinion that says it's not ruined, in other words, this last opinion, Nami Hoksiv, does it not say Kasher Yachanu Kein Yisou, which we saw before indicates that it does become invalid. What does this opinion do with this pasuk? Answer: Leidoch Giso. He takes it to the other direction. Ma Bachanioso Ki Lo Yotzamim Komalonim. If so, just like when encamped, which the pasuk mentions Yachanu, when encamped, the lechem does not become unfit if it doesn't leave its place. So too in the travel, as long as it does not leave the Machne Leviyah, the section of the traveling of the Jewish people traveled in formation. So as long as it didn't leave the area occupied by the Levium in travel, it too does not become puzzle. It does not become puzzle by the mere fact that it's now in motion. The idoch, the opinion that says it does become puzzle through travel, nami hoksiv lechem hatomid olov yeh, the pasuk which indicated before that it does not become puzzle through the mere travel. So what does he do with that? So this brings us to a new approach. And on the outside margin, we have a mivneh. Mivneh is a reference to structure. As you can see in the Gemara itself, we're now starting to encounter new geometric forms. We have a double underline with dots in it, and a diamond. So the double underline with dots features the word, the expression ki osa, when he came. In the first case, Rav Dimi came, and the second case, when Rovin came, they came and reported the following teachings. So the diamonds, as we just alluded to, are emphasizing Rav Dimi and Rovin, and we've written in our note, Rav Dimi and Rovin Masbirin, Rav Yochan, Rav Shumin Levi, they are Masbir. Those earlier Amoroyim, Shityachasu Lenose Hanal, that dealt with the above topic, namely the kashrus of the Lechem Aponim as a result of travel. Elo, so turning back to the Gemara, also Rav Dimi Omar, B'mesudar Dekulei Alma Lo Pligi. If we're talking about a case that the breads, the 12 breads that constituted the Lechem Aponim were set on the Shulchan. And Mesudar means they started to travel before the time to remove the breads arrived. In other words, the breads were always divided on Shabbos to the Kohanim. So if you're talking about a situation that they started traveling before the time for the distribution of the breads arrived, so the kulei almo lo pligi, there is no argument. In other words, everyone will agree that as long as the breads are set up on the table, even though they started to travel, the breads do not become unfit. Eloki pligi b'masulak. The problem or the controversy arises when you're dealing with breads that were removed from the table and distributed. Ma deomar nifsal, the opinion that says that, well, once they start traveling, the breads become unfit. Dichtiv kasher yachanu kein yiso. This is the same pasuk we saw cited earlier. Ma b'chanios nifsal b'yotze, just like when they're encamped, when the breads leave their precinct. In that case, when they leave the azor of the Beis HaMikdash or of the Mishkan, they become unfit. Af b'nisios mifsal b'yotze, so too with travel. By the fact that they started traveling and moving, so the breads that were distributed become pasul. L'madomar eino nifsal, the opinion that says that they did not become puzzle, tichti v'nosa oil moyed, which means afalpi shenosa, even though they are in motion and travel, oil moyed hu, the oil moyed still maintains its identity. So as long as the breads are still in the vicinity of the folded up oil moyed, it's still considered oil moyed, still considered the Mishkan, and therefore the breads are said to be part of that area. The idoch, the opinion that says that they do not become puzzle, nami hoksiv kashir yachnu kein yiso, does it not say this, which we said before implies that it does become unfit? So he answers the idoch giso. He takes it to the other side, the other extreme. Ma b'chaneyosu ki lo mapik le lo mifso, just like when they're encamped, if he doesn't take the breads out of the azora, they do not become unfit. Afbenisioso kilo mapik le lo mifsal. So too in travel, if they do not leave the machne levia, the area of the nation of Israel, that as we mentioned before, they traveled in formation, so that the machne levia, which were centrally located in this, in the movement of Klal Yisrael, as long as the Lechem Aponim doesn't leave that area in which the Machne HaLeviyah were traveling, it does not become unfit. The Idoch, the opinion that says it does become unfit, Nami Hoksiv and also Moed, does it not say that as they're traveling, the Oyel Moed retains its name? So he says, no, that the role of that pasuk is hahu l'degolim hu da'asa. It's to tell us, degolim literally means the flags. The flags, though, represent each tribe had its own flag. So the pasuk of Enosa ol Moed is part of the section of the Torah that instructs them how to travel, how to set up that formation. But it does not shed light on the shame oyo moed continues while they are in motion, though. The idach, the man to Omar that holds it doesn't become puzzle through travel from this pasuk of Enosa ol Moed. So where does he learn the issue of formation? Answer: Mimachne halevim basocha machnos nafko. He learns it from this pasuk, which indicates that the machne halevim was in the midst of the other camps, meaning centrally located. Meisvei, we have a Tanaic source that poses a question on one of these opinions. Bishas siluk masos, when they were traveling. Kochim nifsolin biyotze, and we've dashed underlined this expression, means that korbanos that had been offered become unfit because they are considered to have left their original place. They're traveling now. Vizavin umitzoron mishtalchen chutz lemechitzason. And Vizavin umitzoron are examples of people that have a high level of ritual impurity. The Mitzora is sent out of all of the camp of Israel. They're sent out of Chutz L'Mechitzasan, and the Mechitza, the region in which Mitzora generally before they were Tomei, they were regular Jews. Part of the Jewish people could be within the Jewish camp. However, a Mitzora is sent out, Chutz L'Mechitzasan, they're sent out of all three camp breakdowns. Those numbers three as a reference to the Machne Shechina, the Machne Levia, and the Machne Yisrael. The Zav, on the other hand, he is sent out of the Machne Shechina and the Machne Levia. He's allowed to be in the Machne Yisrael. Now, it's pointed out over here that while they're in movement, in motion, the Zavin and Mitzorim must be outside of their respective precincts. Now it mentions here that kochim are nifsolim biyotzei. My lav, afilu lechem aponim. Does this not imply that the lechem aponim, which is also something sanctified, becomes rendered unfit through travel? Loi bar mi lechem aponim. With the exception of lechem aponim, in other words, standard korbanos, the various animals that are slaughtered and offered as sacrifices, they do become pasul. The exception being lechem aponim. As far as that answer is concerned, the Gemara raises a question. Monafshach. Either way, we will have a difficulty. E oyel moed dafkahu. If the categorization of oyel moed is maintained, even though they are traveling, then afilu kochim nami. Then even other sanctified items should not become unfit. And e oil moed lav dafka, and if you'll say that, well, once they start, they fold up camp and fold up the mishkan, so the shame ohel moed is not maintained. The identity of the mishkan is not maintained because it's been folded up. Then afilu lechem aponim nami. Then even lechem aponim should become. Even lechem aponim will become ruined. So you can't say labar mi lechem aponim. So this attempted answer to the meisvei, namely make a distinction between lechem aponim and other kochim, that doesn't work. Elo ki also roven omar. This, as you can see, is a second approach to an additional approach, we'll say, to the machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon Levi that we had seen earlier. Mar omar b'mesudar. The opinion that says that it's not nifsal in travel. We're talking about a case where the bread has not been distributed yet. It's still mesudar on the table, still set up on the table. Umor Omar, the opinion that says that through travel it becomes ruined, the mesulak. We're talking about the breads that have been distributed. They've been removed from the shulchan already. The lo pligi, and there is no machlokas. They're simply talking about two different circumstances. Omar Abaye, Shma mino yesh siluk masois balailo. from this discussion that there's a psul yotze at the point of travel, when we're talking about the lechem that's mesulach, let's review that point again, that there is a psul yotze. So it must be that yesh siluk masos balayla. By the way, we have a point here, a long point, but we called it here Abaye, and this is illustrated by Abaye's name being encircled to the immediate left-hand side of the Mortex with a descending vertical dashed line to create the impression of how long Abaye's comment lasts. So it lasts all of the lines of Gemara opposite this vertical dashed line. Abaye says that it must be that travel could start at night. If one were to think that the initiation of travel does not take place at night, Amos Madli, when are the Madli is a reference to the Mishkan being picked up or folded up. Litzafra, in the morning, in the daytime hours. My irya mishum yotze. Why talk about the psul of yotze? Tepuk li the ifsul le balina. We would be more appropriate to talk about the problem of lina, meaning if the travel started not at night but started by day, when the night comes and they're traveling and the next morning comes about, the lechem aponim become posel by virtue of the fact that you have something that had been sanctified and was left overnight. So by the fact that we're talking about a psul yotze, it must be that the traveling started by night, and it's the mere change of location that causes the psul from setting, that causes the psul to set in. So by virtue of the fact that we are talking about a psul yotze and not mentioning a psul lina, it must be that there's an assumption that travel can start at night. Just to review the point again, because if travel was starting only by day, then instead of talking about a psul yotze, we would talk about a psul lina, namely they started travel by day and the breads that were left through the night would become posel by being having been left overnight. So the Gemara responds to this observation that Abaye makes by saying, Pshita, I don't need Abaye to point out that there is siluk masos at night. The pasuk itself indicates this. It says, lo leches yoimam v'laylo ksiv. Lo leches, we've dashed underline lo leches to travel, and the word v'laylo, meaning they're walking at night. So what is Abaye telling me that I wouldn't have known from the pasuk? Answer, mahu detema. I would have thought without Abaye, hani mili, when is their travel at night? Hecha de okur biyamama. That's when they started their travel by day. They continue walking at night. Aval hecha de lo okur biyamama. However, if the initiation of the trip was not by day, balayla lo matsu akri, they wouldn't be able to start at night. And that, in fact, would have been implied by the pasuk, which puts yomom, daytime, before nighttime. Causing me to think that the starting is only by yom, by day, Komashmuan, therefore Abaye is necessary to tell me that the starting of travel could take place at night. And just to review the main point, and as a result of the starting of travel taking place at night, we can already talk about a psul yotze without having to come on to the psul of lina. By the mere fact that it changed position, that would already create the psul of yotze, of its having left its original precinct, its original location. Before, we had cited a source that said that when they were traveling, that even though they were traveling, the various types of tomei individuals had to remain outside of the areas that, had they been tohor, they would have been allowed to be in. Well, to this we raise a contradiction, and you'll note to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text we have a little arrow here, and you can align this with the arrow that appeared a few lines up in the Gemara, pointing to the line where it mentioned the Zavin and Mitzorah and Mishach L'chuslim Chitzoson. Here we have a source that seems to say otherwise. V'raminhi Huglulu HaParoches, when the poroches meaning the curtain of the base of the Mishkan was rolled up, in other words, they picked up camp, hutru hazoven mitzorin likones l'sham, the mitzorin and zoven were allowed to enter. In other words, there was no requirement of them being distanced. Omar Rav Ashi answers, lo kashya ha Rebbe Eliezer ha Rabbanan. We'll see the opinion of Reb Lezer cited very shortly. He is lenient, and the opinion that we saw above, indicating they must stay out of the camp, of their respective camps, that is the Rabbana, the Sanya. And now the Gemara presents a Tanaic source with Rebbe Eliezer featured. Rebbe Eliezer Omer. We will see, as a result of learning the following source, we will see that Rebbe Eliezer has a lenient opinion with regard to the distancing of various types of tomei individuals. And as a result of his leniency that will be reflected here, we attach his shita to the opinion that says that when they picked up camp, the rules of separation and distancing regarding these tomei individuals no longer apply. So the source says, Rabbi Lezer Omer, Yochol dochaku zoven mitzorayin v'nichsu azora v'pesach v'betuma, Yochol yu chayovin. There's a situation called Pesach abo betuma. That's a case where Rov Klal Yisrael were tomei mace. That means Rov, the majority of the Jewish people, had been exposed to tuma created by death. That's tumas mace. In such a case, the Korban Pesach is brought bituma in a state of ritual impurity on the 14th of Nisan. That's a situation called Pesach Abovatuma. We'll call it a type of leniency or allowance made for tuma, public tuma, that is true with regard to tumas mace. This same level of leniency does not apply to the tuma of Zav and Metzora. However, what happens in a case where the Korban Pesach is brought when they are Tomei Meis, and a Zav or Metzora would push his way into the Azora? So Rabbi Lezer says, could it be that if a Zav or Metzora pushed his way into the Azora during a situation like that of a Pesach HaBobetuma, Yochol Yu Chayovin, would they be guilty of entering the Beis HaMikdash in a state of Tuma, which by the way carries with it a very severe penalty? There's a penalty of Kores associated with someone who's Tomei that enters the Beis HaMikdash. So the Pasuk says, Talmud Lomar, in this pasuk, we have three types of tomeim that are paralleled with one another: the mitzora, the zav, and the tomei lenefesh. That's he became tomei tumas meis. So we learn from here: b'shal shetmei meisim mishdalchin, when someone who's tomei meis is sent out, then zav and mitzora mishdalchin, then they too must be distanced. However, if you have a situation like Pesach HaBobetumo, 14th of Nisan, where rove of the population are Tomei, And the as a result of that, the Pesach will be brought by people that are Tomei Meis entering the Beis HaMikdash. So that's the case of Ein Tomei Meis and Mishtachin. Then Ein Zavin Mitzrayim Mishtachin. Likewise, the Zavin and Mitzrayim are also not sent out. So we see Rabbi Elezer referring to a leniency regarding the Zavin and Mitzrayim not being sent out. So just like in the case of Pesach HaBava Tumah, There is no mechitza with regard to tumah. So too, when the mechitzas are physically rolled up, Rabbi Lezer will tell you that there's no din mechitza. There's no din of precinct that applies, and therefore there's no requirement of these people distancing themselves. Before continuing with the Mishnah, we have a topic heading in the outside margin under the title Nosei. Deos, opinions, im shnei halechem v'lechem aponim doichin es hashabos. We'll see opinions regarding the preparation, the baking of the shnei halechem, the two loaves brought on Shavuos, and the lechem aponim, the 12 loaves that sat in the heichal from week to week. Are they to be baked on Shabbos? So the Mishnah says, echod shtei halechem v'echod lechem aponim. Lishoson va'arichoson bachutz, their kneading and shaping can be done outside the Beis HaMikdash. Vafiyoson bifnim, and their baking must be done inside the Beis HaMikdash. V'einon doichos es haShabbos, and their baking is not going to supersede Shabbos. In other words, they're not to be baked on Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda Omer kol maaseim bifnim. Rabbi Yehuda says that the entire processing, the kneading, the shaping, and the baking is to be done inside the Azara. Rabbi Shimon Omer, La'olam evirogi lomar shtelechem lecham aponim ksheros ba'azara ksheros abeis pagi. Rabbi Shimon takes the other extreme and says that you should be accustomed to saying that the shtelechem and lechem aponim are kosher not only in the Azara, but they're kosher also the base pagi. A base pagi is a reference to the outermost area still within the walls of Yerushalayim. But according to Reb Shimon, they're not limited to the Beis HaMikdash. Before going ahead in the Gemara, we have a Nosei Mivneh heading that we want to take note of in the outside margin. We feature a triangle, as triangles will appear in the Sugya. With the triangles here, we refer to them as ma'akav. Ma'akav means an attempt to keep track of the back and forth or give and take style of the Gemara. With the point facing up, this points out a difficulty. With the point facing down, that represents a response, an answer. We also have noted in this sugya Roman numerals number 1 and 2. They appear to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text in diamonds. The diamonds around the numbers also correspond to Rava that appears in the Gemara. So we've noted Shnei Shlavim, or two stages, Behatzogas Kushya, in presenting a difficulty. Rava mitzateit es Rav Sheshes. Rava will be quoting Rav Sheshes, Shehera Stira B'Mishnah, that points out that there is a contradiction within the Mishnah. We've also used a double underline to highlight a phrase, and this marking is only to point out the repeat style or structure of the Gemara. This phrase is Rava mentions that a great man who is as hard, a tough man who is as tough as iron, raised the above mentioned problem. The idea of a tough man, and the Gemara will point out it happens to be Rav Sheshes, is complementary. This is explained by Tosfos, who mentions that where you see the expression concerning a Talmud Chacham that he's kosher kebarzel, that he's as hard as iron, this is praiseworthy, as the Gemara in Tainus Daf Zayin says there that kol Talmud Chacham sheino kosher kebarzel eino Talmud Chacham, that a Talmud Chacham who's not as hard as iron is not a real Talmud Chacham. We can say, generally speaking, this is a reference to the need to take a position, to take a stand, especially when it comes to matters of halacha and public conduct, where you have to take a stand and have a backbone. And it's in that context that we'll say that someone that's tough as iron is actually a complementary idea. Turning now to the Gemara. Ha gufa kashya. The Mishnah is inherently contradictory. Amris, on the one hand you say, Lishasan varichasan bachutz, that the kneading and the shaping of the loaves can be done outside the Beis HaMikdash. Alma, this would show us midas yovesh, that the dry measures, lo niskacha, were not sanctified. And being that they're not sanctified, that which was put into them, the flour that was put into them, did not become sanctified, and hence was not limited to being in a sanctified location. And that's why it could be done b'chutz. The Mishnah also said, v'afiyosan b'fnim, their baking is inside. Well, if the baking is limited to the inside, to the Azara, it must be Alma Midas Yovesh Niskacha, that the dry measures were sanctified. A point of contradiction. Being that they were sanctified, then, and it's only then I would understand why the baking must take place inside the Azara. Omar Rava. Rava, regarding this question, says, Hiksha Adam Koshe Shu Koshe Kebarzel, a tough man who's as hard as iron raised this problem. Umanu, and who is this tough man that raised the problem? Rav Sheshes. The Gemara, though, says, my kashya, from what you just pointed out as being contradictory, who says there is any problem? Dilma Isaron lo Mekadesh, Tanur Mekadesh. Maybe the Isaron, which is the name of the dry measure, the measure for dry goods, like flour, that it is not sanctified, so that up till the point of the oven, which is sanctified, or which does sanctify, so up till that point, you're talking about the kneading is pre-baking, so it's not sanctified. But the tanur, the oven, does create sanctification. Therefore, since it is the source of sanctification, that must take place in the Azara. However, the kneading, which is prior to the tanur, which was material exposed to the Isaron was not sanctified, hence there's no limitation to Azara at that early point. Elo, I kashio ho kashio. However, if you feel that there's something contradictory, then the following needs to be pointed out. The afiyason bifnim. This was an expression that we saw in the Mishnah, that the baking must take place inside the Azora. Amo, we see from here, tanur mekadesh, that the oven creates sanctity, and therefore it must be limited to the Azora. However, there's another expression, the ein dochos es ha-shabos, that says you cannot bake it on Shabbos. Now, you have to spell out over here, if it's not baked on Shabbos, and you are telling me that the tanur is mekadesh, then you have baked them erev Shabbos. By being placed in the oven, they gained sanctity. Well, by being left over to Shabbos, which is the time for the setting up of the lechem aponim on the shulchan, well, if salah belina, then they've become posel already through lina. Lina is by having been in a sanctified state from Friday, because you told me ein dochos es ha-shabbos, and it has left over till Shabbos by day, Shabbos morning, they would already become posel belina. Omar Rava, hiksha adam koshe shu koshe kebarzel. This problem was raised by a tough man who is as hard as iron, umanu Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes pointed out this problem. Let's go over the problem briefly. We've underlined the key phrases as we did above, as well in the Gemara. In this section 2, we pointed afiyosin bifnim. The fact that the baking is limited to the Azor indicates that the Tanur has sanctification capacity. But then you told me it's not Dirch Shabbos, means I have to bake it Erev Shabbos, but by baking it in a Tanur that's Mekadesh, and then leaving it over till Shabbos, which was the time for the breads being set up on the Shulchan, they've already become Posel Belina. How could that be? How can you allow for that? Omar Rav Ashi. Now Rav Ashi attempts to answer this. We can see that by noticing the inverted triangle. Let's note before we go too much further that on the next line, the triangle will be repositioned with the point facing up, reinstating the difficulty. And if you navigate with the markings, this reinstated difficulty lasts till the end of the sukkah. Amar Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi attempts to answer this and says, "My kushya, what's the problem? Dilma, my mibifnim. Maybe what is meant by mibifnim? When the Mishnah said that the afiyosin is bifnim, it means b'mokim zrizin, in a place where there were diligent individuals. Diligent individuals are referenced to the kohanim, so that the afiyosin bifnim doesn't mean the baking has to take place in the azara. The baking takes place outside the azara, but it must be baked by diligent people who will see to it that the lechem upon him does not become chometz, is not allowed to ferment and rise. So by saying that, then there's no indication that the tanur is mekadesh, and if the tanur is not mekadesh, therefore there's no problem of the breads being baked on Friday and left over till Shabbos. There will be no psul lina because they have not become sanctified yet. However, v'hod Rav Ashi barusa hi. That which Rav Ashi says is barusa. Barusa, loosely translated, will mean is inaccurate. Monavshach. Monavshach means look either way you look at it. In other words, seek consistency and you will see now a problem. And we should take note that this dechia, this rejection of the Gemara, lasts a few lines, and we've indicated this by the Dalet encircled to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line indicating a dechia of this length. Dechia meaning a rejection. The Gemara rejects Rav Ashi and says, either way, we will see a problem. E afiyah bo'inon is reason. If afiyah, if the baking requires diligent individuals, then lisha va'arichon ami bo'inon's reason. Don't forget, the Mishnah also made reference to the lisha and the aricha. And as far as the lisha and aricha, it said b'chutz. Well, if you're saying bifnim means in a place of diligent individuals, so b'chutz will mean you can compromise on diligency. But how can you do that? The lisha and aricha should also require diligency, meaning to make sure that it does not become chometz. The e lisha varicha lo boinon's reason, and if you'll say that lisha and aricha does not require the diligent to be involved, afionami lo boinon's reason, then by the baking also there should be no requirement for his reason. In other words, there should be consistency between the stage of kneading and the stage of baking. Why does the Mishnah make a distinction? Ela de Rav Ashi barusahi. So we must conclude that Rav Ashi's attempted resolution is unreliable. If that be the case, so then the question remains. Why does the Mishnah on the one hand say that afiyosin bifnim, and on the other hand says ein dochos es haShabbos? Rav Yehuda Omer kol maseyin bifnim, and Rabbi Shimon said that you should be accustomed to saying that they're kosher even a base pagi. Rabbi Yehuda limiting the processing of the shtei alechem and the lechem upon him to the azara. Rabbi Shimon is saying, no, it's not limited. It can be done even in the outskirts of Yerushalayim, within the outermost wall, with an area called base pagi. Before going ahead in the Gemara, we want to take note of our nosei mivneh heading that we see on the outside margin. We featured a 1 and 2. There are shnei shlavim, two stages, lahavim, to understand b'ma chokim Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. What are Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon arguing in? We saw their argument already in the Mishnah. So stage one will present them as a machlokis b'pirush haposuk b'sefer Shmuel. They will be arguing about how to explain a posuk in the book of Shmuel, in David benov ir hakohanim, concerning David and his arrival in Nov, which was a city of Kohanim. And in that incident, we see David, who was not a Kohen, who was partaking of the lechem haponim. The second stage of Gemara, however, will present the machlokis, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, Chokim b'masoira, a tradition, what the Gemara calls b'gemara. Gemara is a word indicating a tradition. The Gemara. Omar Rabbi Avo bar Kahana, Ushnehem mikro echod darshu. Both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon darshened, they expounded on the same pasuk, and interestingly, they view the same pasuk and come to their opposite extreme conclusions. The Pasuk says, and we mentioned before, this was involves an incident where David HaMelech found himself in Nov, Ir HaKohanim, and he was famished, and he was seeking something to eat. And it says there, V'hu derech choyl af ki hayoim yikdash bekli. There is no purpose in giving a literal translation to this pasuk. Rather, let us allow the Gemara to explain. We've featured the names Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon in a volcano form to make it easier to locate each one's position. So Rabbi Yehuda Sovar. Rabbi Yehuda holds b'chol ashkechinu d'ka'afulei. David HaMelech met the Kohanim of Nov baking them on a weekday. Weekday being on Friday. Omar Lehu, David says to them, Derech ol koafisu lei, you're baking it on a weekday? You should be baking the lechem haponim on Shabbos. Af ki hayom yikdash bekli. It's going to become sanctified today on Friday in the kli, in the vessel, in the tanur, in the oven. And as a result of that, if so lei belina, your lechem aponim will become rendered unfit by being left overnight after having been in a state of sanctity. That which is sanctified and left overnight becomes posel belina. So Rebbe Yehuda is reflecting his opinion through the eyes of David HaMelech and his understanding of this pasuk, that the baking is doche Shabbos. That's Shitas Rebbe Yehuda, as we saw in the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon Savar. Rabbi Shimon, in explaining this story, says b'Shabbos ashkechinu deko afulei. He found them baking it on Shabbos. Omar Lehu, David says to them, to the Kohanim of Nov, Lo derech chol bo'isu l'mevdei, should you not have baked it on a weekday, namely on Friday? And if you're worried about a psulino by virtue of it having become sanctified in the tanur, well, that's not true. Midi tanur mekadesh? Is it the tanur, the oven, that creates sanctity? Not so. Shulchan hu de mekadesh. It's by the setting up on the shulchan, which is done on Shabbos day itself. So you should have baked it in the tanur on Friday. The tanur will not have created sanctity, and therefore. As you can see, Rabbi Shimon is understanding through the eyes of David that the baking of the lechem upon him is not to be doche Shabbos. The Gemara asks a basic question on Rabbi Avo Bar Kahana's presentation. Omin motzis amris debishasa fi ashkechinu. Can you say that David encountered them, the Kohanim, while they were baking the loaves? The hawk sieve, but it says in the same context, this is Pasuk Zion, namely the next Pasuk, it says, Vayitein loy hakoyen kodesh, ki lo hoya shom lechem, ki im lechem haponim hamusorim milifnei Hashem. The Pasuk says that the Kohen gave David HaMelech lechem haponim to eat, because there was nothing else to eat other than the breads that were removed. Musar means they were taken off the table for the purpose of being distributed to the Kohanim. So that David met them at the point of lechem distribution, not at the point they were being baked. Elomai derech choyl deka'omar luhu. Here we have the little arrow to the right hand side of the Gemara text. If you look up a few lines, you'll see another little arrow indicating where this phrase comes from. So what does derech choyl mean if we're talking about an encounter of David with the Kohanim on Shabbos, which was the day that the lechem was musarim, removed from the table and distributed? So what's meant by derech choyl? Hochi ko'omar lei. Hochi ko'omru lei. Thusly, was the interchange, and in this case, this is what the Kohanim said to David. They said to him, you want something to eat, but lekol lechem, there's no bread. Ki'im lechem haponim amusarim lefnei Hashem. The only bread that is available is the lechem aponim, which is strictly the province of the Kohanim, not you. You don't eat from this. You're a Yisrael. You're not a Kohen. Omar Lehu, David responds, Lo mibaya hai. I don't have to tell you about these or this. The kevan de nofak le mimi'ila derech choyol hu. And here you can see the weaving in of the expression derech chol, that there is no more mi'ilo prohibition. Mi'ilo is the prohibition associated with holy items prior to their achieving a status of allowance to Kohanim. However, once something that's of a holy nature becomes allowed to the Kohanim, the prohibition of Me'ila disappears. So David is saying, as far as these breads are concerned that are being distributed right now, I don't have to tell you about Me'ila, which no longer applies. That's denofak le mi'ila derech chol hu. Derech chol meaning it doesn't have the sanctity that's associated with something that's prohibited under the restriction of mi'ila. Elo afilu ha'hech nami dahayom yikdash bekli havu li delecho. But even the new breads that are placed on the table that do have an iser mi'ila, that are now being sanctified by being put on the table by the vessel of holiness, even that I have a right to eat. And that's because mesukanhu, he's very he's in life endangered. He was famished, of suffering starvation, and as a result of that, even something that is not described as derech chol, but rather as pure sanctity, even that I would be entitled to eat. That having been said, the approach taken by Rabbi Avo Bar Kahana to explain Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon as arguing regarding a pasuk, and the pasuk having been thought to refer to an encounter David had with the Kohanim at the time of baking, that no longer holds. As far as the encounter, that was re-explained by the Gemara just now. Well, then, how do we approach the machlokis Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, if not as Rabbi Avo Bar Kahana presented it? Here we have number two. Rabbi Yehuda of Rabbi Shimon the Gemara Pligi. Their argument is a tradition, an oral tradition, where Rabbi Yehuda had as a tradition that lechem aponim can be baked on Shabbos, and Rabbi Shimon holding his tradition saying no. And this is a function of how they viewed the lechem aponim and their respective sanctity. So the Gemara says, Daiko Nami, through careful reading of the Mishnah, one can see this point of difference, where Rabbi Yehuda will say that the Tanur created sanctity, and as a result of that, it follows that the baking must take place on Shabbos, because if the Tanur, which creates sanctity, would have been used to bake them on Erev Shabbos, then the Psul Lino would have set in, as the Psul Lino sets in on things that are sanctified. Rabbi Shimon, on the other hand, will hold that the Tanur does not create the sanctity. It's the placing on the table, on the shulchan, that creates the sanctity. As a result of that, so they can be baked, they have to be baked on Erev Shabbos, not on Shabbos, and there is no fear of the psul lino setting in. And you can see this by carefully reading the Mishnah, the Ketoni. It says in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Omer, the Olam have a rogil lomar. Before we read any further, we must just, for the purpose of accuracy, the Deikonami, the careful reading, will point out that the Machlokis, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, is based on an oral tradition and not based on a Pasuk analysis. So you'll see that Rabbi Shimon holds that it's an oral tradition by careful reading of the Mishnah, and which says, Rabbi Shimon Omer, the Olam have a rogil lomar, be accustomed to saying, Shtei alechem v'lechem aponim, ksheros bazoro ksheros abeis pagi. This expression of be accustomed to saying indicates that we're not dealing with something that's a posuk-based issue, but rather an oral tradition. And Rabbi Shimon says in this context that the lechem aponim can be prepared even outside the azorah, indicating that there is no sanctity associated with them at their point of preparation and baking. Shema mino, this is a good proof. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.